who have seen Allah, then tell them that Allah has commanded them to do 5 prayers in every day. And if they do that, then take them, tell them that Allah has commanded a sadaqah, or a charity is due from the rich, and they have to give it to their poor. Take it from their rich and give it to their poor. So that was the third commandment of the Prophet ﷺ. So you see how it's one of the most important pillars in Islam. Inshallah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, so you're right, brother. You know, some of the ulama said if a person denies the zakat, he becomes a kafir.
Yeah, it
he denies it. No.
All that.
No. You know, they say there's no obligation, and this is why Abu Bakr, he waged war on the people who stopped paying the zakat, because he said if they stop giving me one saddle that they used to give Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will make war against them. You know, that's how strict, because the zakat is so important. You know, because it's the right of the poor. Inshallah, let me just make the du'as and then we can start. Inshallah. And then I can answer your question, inshallah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. This is the seminar on the fiqh of zakah in the year 2013, Ramadan, night number 5, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah al-kareem wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa salam. Allahumma alimna ma anfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna ilma wa hikma wa huda. Asallahu alayhi wa fiqhana lima yuhibbu wa yarda. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa salam. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's very good to see you, brothers, and I welcome you to the seminar, the workshop today. Actually, the goal here for the workshop is to be able to answer your questions. Inshallah, we have a little bit of foundation of some basic questions here, and then if you have any questions after that, we can also deal with those, inshallah ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, the first question here, actually, it's related to what you had asked about, which is the ruling on the zakah. What is the ruling on the zakah? And alhamdulillah, it was the brother, you mentioned the hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ, he told Mu'adh ibn Jabal, tell the people that Allah has commanded or placed upon them a charity that is taken from the rich and given to the poor of the people. Taken from their rich and given to their poor. And so here the ulama, they say that the zakat, it is the goal behind it, one of the major goals behind the zakat is to reconcile the hearts between the rich and the poor, so that it brings the society. When you have, normally if you have rich people and poor people, you have some jealousy and some ill feelings. So one of the major goals behind the zakat, Allah says, take from their wealth a charity that purifies them. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ. It will purify them and it will make them purified. تُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. What happens is when the zakah, it purifies the rich people from their stinginess and from their greed, which is inherent in money. So by giving the zakah to the poor, it purifies their stinginess and their greed. And if you give charity to the poor people, it purifies the poor people from their jealousy and their hatred. So you see how zakat, it brings the people in the society and makes them, you know, happy together. One of the things about the zakat, here it says the ruling on the zakat, it is one of the pillars of Islam. The zakat is one of the pillars of Islam. And if someone gives it up, what is the ruling on a person who doesn't pay the zakat? What happens to this person?
They can afford it.
They have the money, but they give it, they don't pay the zakat. They have the money, they know they're supposed to pay it. There's two things here. One is if a person, they don't pay the zakat out of stinginess. They know it's obligatory, they know that Allah commanded it to, and they know they're sinning, but they're too stingy to give it. In that case, the person is doing a major, major sin. Major sin. Some of the hadith say that the money that they withheld will on the day of judgment, it will be heated up and it will be burned on them, on their faces and on their sides, and on their backs. And this is the money, the gold and the silver that they withheld from the poor, because it's such a because of the right that they withheld from the poor. This is in the case that they're stingy. It's a major sin. They are still Muslim, but they're doing a big sin. In the case where somebody denies that we have to pay zakah, they say, no, there's no zakah, I don't have to pay it. And this is what happened in the time of the Khalifa Abu Bakr, when some of the tribes, they said, we don't have to pay zakah anymore. That was only for Prophet Muhammad SAW. Now it's Abu Bakr, you're the ruler, we don't have to pay zakah anymore. Then these people, they should be told, or they should be explained. Zakah is one of the pillars of Islam. When the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Islam is built on five things. He said, Shahada, Salah, and Zakah. He mentioned the Zakah. It's a pillar of Islam. If you deny this, you're denying one of the pillars of Islam. You'll be out of the deen. The person still insists on it, that they deny that they have to pay Zakah, then they become a kafir. It takes them out of Islam. Yes. Because when a person denies any of the pillars of Islam, they become a kafir. Yeah. If somebody denies any of the pillars, like they deny the shahada, of course, they deny the salah, they say, I don't have to pray. That person is not a Muslim. He cannot be a Muslim. If a person denies any of the pillars of iman, the faith, like belief in Allah, His angels, His books, His prophets, the Day of Judgment, destiny, he becomes a non-Muslim. If somebody denies any of the well-known things in a religion, what they call ma'anum min ad-din bid-durura, it's things that people have to know. If they say alcohol is halal, they become a non-Muslim. Because it's well-known. Everybody knows alcohol is forbidden. If they say doing zina is halal, that takes them out of Islam. No, denying any of these well-known things in a religion. So this is the ruling on the zakat, that a person, if they deny the obligation, they become a kafir. If they know they have to do it, but they're just sinful, then they are not still Muslim, but they will be they're warned against that of a severe punishment in the afterlife. All right, let's go to the next question, inshallah. Is that clear for the issue of the zakat, inshallah? Yes. Alright. Would like to go, can we go to the next question, inshallah? Yes. Okay, sure. Would you like to read it, brother?
The sa'f?
Yes.
The minimum amount of which zakat is due on gold.
Alright, very good. Jazakallah khair. Alright, so here the nisab, which is the minimum amount on which zakat is due on the gold. So here the ulama, they talk about nisab means that out of Allah's mercy, not everybody has to pay zakah. Yeah. They have to have a minimum amount before the zakah is due. That's called the nisab. If somebody has less than that, they don't have to pay zakah. Say somebody, for example, they have $10. They keep the $10 for a whole year. Do they have to pay zakat? No. Because it's below the minimum. It's like a minimum level that Allah has set. Below that, there's no zakat due. And so this is the main condition for zakat. You have to have the minimum amount, and you have to keep it for one entire year. You could have, say you have several thousand dollars, $5,000, but you spend it all within 6 months. It's all gone. By the end of the year, you spend all of it. Then you don't have to pay zakat on it. Why not?
Because you don't have no money.
Okay, let's do it a different way. Say that you had no money, and then 6 months later, somebody gave you $5,000.
Still not over the minimum.
$5,000 is over the minimum amount. Yeah, the minimum amount on gold, if we go by gold, is 85 grams of gold. In the next question, we're going to calculate it. It's roughly like $3,500, $4,000. So you have over the minimum, but you haven't had it for one full year. You have to keep it in your possession. You know, as soon as you get your check from work, do you have to pay zakat?
No.
If you take that check, you put it in your bank account, you have to keep it in that account for one full lunar year, 12 months. After 12 months are over, you still have the money, then the zakat is due. And again, it has to be above the minimum, the nisab. So here, the nisab means if you have less than this amount, even if you keep it for 10 years, there's no zakat. What is the nisab? The nisab is 85 grams of gold. What is the value of 85 grams of gold in dollars? It changes all the time. Because gold prices, they fluctuate. But the Sharia has said, the Islamic law has said that the zakat, the minimum amount is 85 grams of gold. If you have a gold coin or gold and it's less than 85 grams, 80 grams, 50 grams, 30 grams, then in this gold there is no zakat due. But you have to add up all the gold together. If all together, all the wealth that you have, and the ulama say that dollars is equivalent to gold, if you put all your money together, your savings in a bank, the money in your mattress, the money in your wallet, all the money you have together, if it's above the value of 85 grams of gold, and you had it for one full lunar year, pay the zakat on it. 2.5%, 1/40. That's the amount. 2.5% or 1/40 is the amount of zakat that is due. But if it's less than 1 year, no zakat is due. And if it's less than the nisab, no zakat is due. Inshallah. Is that clear, that concept?
Yes,
there?
Sir.
Listen. Okay,
yes,
alhamdulillah. May Allah reward you, brothers. Alhamdulillah. Naam. So they say the nisab is 20 mithqal. One mithqal is 4.25 grams. So when you multiply it out, basically it comes out to 85 grams of gold, inshallah. Okay, or the dollar equivalent of that. Like if you don't have actual gold, but say you have cash, then the cash is, the zakat will be due on the cash. Now you can see on the back page it has the answers from Dar al-Ifta, the second page. So that it has some short answers, but we'll give a little bit more explanation to the answers, inshallah. Is that clear for that one, inshallah?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Should we go to the next question?
Yes, sir.
Inshallah. Would you like to read this one here? The next question?
Okay. Paying zakat in advance?
No, it's 29.
Yes.
The minimum amount on which zakat is due in dollars.
Alright, good. Now we come to the next question, which is, we know that the gold you have to give zakat when you have more than 85 grams. But what about in dollars? How much dollars is that? Basically, you multiply the price of gold per gram and you multiply that by 85. And that's what there's an equation here. Basically, what is the price of gold per gram? And last time that it was checked, it was $54.42 per gram. And then you multiply that by 20 mithqal, when each mithqal is 4.25 grams. So that makes, when you multiply 20 by 4.25, that's 85. 85 grams is the minimum amount, right, of gold. And what is the price of gold per gram? It is $54. What happens when you multiply that? You get $4,625.70. So that is the minimum amount on which zakat is due, if we go by the gold, the measurement in gold. A lot of people, they don't know this. A lot of people think that any money you have to pay the zakat on it. They don't realize that if you have less than the nisab, you don't have to pay any zakat. Can you still give charity?
Yes.
But that's not called zakat. That's called sadaqah. Sadaqah, you can give any amount that you like, as little or as much as you like, to whomever you want. It's not restricted who you can give it to. You can give it to Muslim, non-Muslim, rich, poor, anybody. Sadaqah. Zakah, it has very strict rules. Who you can give it to and how much is due, when it is due, there's a lot of rules. There's more, there's specified rules for it. So here for the zakah, it's only due if you have more than the $4,625.70. If you look at the nisab for silver, silver also has a nisab which is roughly 595 grams. So if you multiply that by the price of silver, which is $1.03 per gram, you get $612.85. See, the silver, the value of the nisab is much less. And the reason for that, in the past, silver was more valuable. But recently, silver has become very, very cheap. It used to be roughly 10 silver coins is one gold coin, about 10 to 1. Now it's more like 50 to 1. You see here, silver is $1 a gram, gold is $54 a gram. So it's like 50 to 1. Silver has become very, very cheap. So when you look at the amount of silver, the price of silver, it only comes out to about $600. And then if you have more than that amount of silver, you have to pay zakah on it. So now when it comes to dollars, when you have dollars, cash, should you go by the gold or should you go by the silver? Should you go by, if I have more than $4,600, I have to pay zakah, or should I go by the silver, $600?
Go by the gold.
Most of the ulama go by the gold. Most of the ulama say you can go by the gold because silver has become so cheap. It's not really normal. And they allow us to go by the gold. But some of the ulama, they said you can, even if you want to be on the safe side, if you have more than the $612, you can give the 2.5%. You can give the zakat on that, inshallah ta'ala. Alright, is that clear for the nisab on the dollars?
Yes,
I'm sure. Would you like to read the next question?
Paying zakat in advance as monthly payments to a poor family?
Yes. Okay, that's a good question. That's a very good question. We said that what the ulama say, that zakah is due after 1 year, right? It's not due before 1 year. Say you have, somebody has the money, he has $5,000, he just got his check. And he's going to put it in his savings account, or in the halal savings place. And after 1 year, he has to pay the zakah, right? But what about, say, next month somebody comes and he needs some money? He needs some charity. Can he pay his zakah ahead of time?
Yes.
He said no, you said yes. But he doesn't want to give sadaqah. He wants to give his zakah, but he wants to pay it early, before it's due. He wants to pay it before it's due. But just like, because right now is needed. He said 1 year from now, these poor people might be gone. But he needs the money right now. He can't wait a year. He needs the food today. Can I advance pay my zakat? Can I pay it ahead of time? Yes. The ulama say that it's allowed to do that. It's allowed to do that. You can pay it. Yeah, you can pay it ahead of time. This is permissible to do that, inshallah ta'ala. Because the needs of people, it's not always according to our schedule. You might say my zakat is due in Ramadan 12 months from now. There's a guy starving right here, and when I tell him come back in Ramadan, you know, he has a need to be taken care of. So in Islamic law, you can always pay the zakat ahead of time. If somebody has a need, then people should be generous to them, and they should they should give them the zakat. And then when it comes due, when the time comes due, they can subtract it, the amount that they gave, yes. And then they can just pay the rest, and no count, inshallah ta'ala. There's no problem to do that. Inshallah. Okay, we'll go to the next question, inshallah.
Delaying the payment of zakat to seek out those deserving it.
That's a good question. Can we delay the zakat? The zakah is due. A person has the money for 1 year, and it's above the nisab. It's due. He has to pay the zakah. But he doesn't find anybody who deserves it. He looks around, there's no poor people. And if he doesn't want to just give it to anybody who doesn't deserve it, he wants to find a poor person. And so can he delay paying that zakah for the purpose of finding somebody who truly deserves it? It's allowed to do that because it's a permissible excuse. He has a good excuse. But he is not allowed to do that without an excuse. If the zakah is due, we got to pay it right away. If he doesn't have a good excuse, he cannot delay it. Because, you know, he might be delaying it out of stinginess. And that's forbidden. But to delay, yes. But to delay it to find a person who deserves it, this is a reasonable excuse. You know, because you don't want to just give the money to nobody and throw it on the street or somebody who doesn't deserve it. You want to make sure that it gets in the right hands. You know, somebody who is truly in need of the zakat. Yes,
sir.
Yes. So,
can you probably give a dab on, like, who distributes the money to?
Yes. There's when it comes to zakat, you can only give it to certain categories of people. When it comes to the regular charity, the sadaqah that you're just giving, it's not the mandatory one, but the optional one, you can give it to anybody you like. You can give it to your friends, you can give it to a rich person, poor. But when it comes to zakat, you have to give it to the poor. Or the other categories. There's actually 8 categories mentioned. In there's a verse in the Quran, Allah talks about who can get the zakah. It cannot be used to build masjids. Zakah, according to the majority of scholars, cannot use it to build the masjid, to pay the bills of the masjid. It's a right of those people. It has to be given to those categories. You cannot use it to build roads or build the bridges. The Islamic government cannot use that money for anything other than the categories that Allah has mentioned. Those categories, it's mentioned, we have another worksheet for it, but very briefly, it's for the poor and needy, and the workers that collect the zakah, those people whose hearts, they're new to Islam, and they want to reconcile their hearts, or they're non-Muslims, but you want to bring them to Islam, and if by giving them that money, it might attract them to become Muslim. So they're allowed to be given the zakah also. This is the only category of non-Muslims we can give zakah. The mu'allafati qulub. Somebody who's close, he's about to accept Islam, but if you give him that money, it will bring him in and make him strong on his faith. That's allowed to give them the zakah. And for people in debt, people who have the debts. And also the people fighting in the way of Allah, defending the borders of Islam. And also for the wayfarer, somebody who's a traveler and he gets lost somewhere, he loses his money and he has nothing to spend, a stranded person. You know how sometimes people get stranded in the middle of nowhere, they need money. They might even have money back home, but they're desperately needed the money to get home. So you can give them zakah to get to their home. But nowadays, the sheikh said that it's not likely to find these kind of people because you have ATMs. Wherever you are, just put your ATM in. You don't have stranded people as much. You might be poor people, but stranded, you can usually get access to money, right? Western Union and other things. So these are the categories for that can be given the zakat, inshallah. Fi sabilillah. So these are the categories. Those are the only people who deserve the zakat. Cannot be spent on other charitable causes. Some people think you can just give it to any charitable cause. You can give it to the non-Muslim people. You can build, even subhanAllah, you hear about people building churches. Giving money to build a church, that's not right. Of course not. You know, it's not even supposed to be built for a masjid. It's for those people. Zakat is, these are deserving people. It's the right of the poor and the needy. cannot give it to other things. You cannot use it to build a beautiful masjid. That's not correct. Majority of Ummah, they did not allow that. It's a good point you brought up. Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah. Alright. Should we go to the next question, inshallah?
The debt exempt one from paying zakat.
Good question. There's somebody, he owes money. He owes money. He has like a loan that he has to pay back for something that he bought. But then he has some money also. Can he say, oh, I owe somebody money, I don't have to pay any zakat on this other money that I have? No. Whatever money you have to pay zakat on it. You can't say, I owe this guy money, I'm not going to pay any zakat until I pay that person back. What you can do, there's one thing is allowed. If you owe that guy money and you have money for zakat, that would be, you would have to pay zakat, go and pay that guy off and then come back and check if you still have to pay zakat. But you can't just make an excuse, you can't use that as an excuse that I have a debt and subtract the debt from your money that you have to pay zakat. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he never did that. They used to go and look on the trees, how much fruit is on the trees. And then they would get to make an estimate. They say, you have to pay this much zakat on your trees. They didn't ask the owner of the land, do you have debts? Did you pay off all your debts? They didn't ask. They looked at the wealth and they charged the zakat on the wealth. It didn't matter if the people owed money or rent or other things. The only thing that the ulama, they do allow, if you have some money that's currently due, like this month you have to pay your rent, you have to pay your bills, your phone bill, everything. They said, go and pay your bills first. Then come back and then calculate your zakat. You know, but if you have, like, say somebody bought a house, they owe like $100,000 on the house, they say, I'm never going to pay zakat because I owe all this money on the house. That's not correct. That's not correct. The mortgage or halal, even if it's a halal mortgage, cannot subtract that from your wealth. You have the wealth, the zakat is due on the wealth, inshallah. So one other issue here that comes up, what if somebody owes you money? Say somebody owes you like $1,000. Do you have to pay zakat on that money? Like somebody says, I'm going to pay you back. You lend him $1,000, he's going to pay you back. So it's as if you have $1,000 coming to you from this person who owes you money. You know, just to give an example, Abu Kabir, he's going to give, what's your name, brother?
Yahya.
He's going to give you $1,000 next month for some money that he owes you. I'm not saying he really owes any money, but now, do you have to pay zakat on this money that's coming to you from your brother?
I would say no. I'm just guessing.
It's a good guess. Actually, you're right. You're right, because there's actually, the answer really is it depends. You know, but because some of the ulama, they said that if somebody owes you money and he acknowledges that, he agrees to it and he's rich and he's going to pay you, then they said that as if that money's in your pocket. Because you can get it at any time. He's rich, he agrees to it, he's not denying it. You can go and get that money just like you put it in the bank. So that's as if it's in your pocket, so you got to pay it. Yeah, that's different. But you give it to somebody and you don't know if he's going to pay you back. He doesn't have the money. He's poor. Or he denies it. He said, you never gave me any money. In that case, then the ulama say, you don't have to pay the zakat. Until you get the money. When you get the money, then you pay the zakat after you receive the money. Inshallah ta'ala. You can pay the money when you receive it. And then they have some differences of view. Should you pay it retroactively for the years that the money was due to you or not? That's a more detailed issue. Some of them say you pay for all the years retroactively. Some of them say you pay for 1 year when you get the money. Some of them say you don't pay anything. When you get the money, you start counting from that time until 1 year, then you pay the zakat on that, inshallah ta'ala. But basically, the basic answer is, the guy who owes you money, if he's rich and he's willing to pay you and he has the money, you should take your zakat out from that money. Because it's as if you own it, you know? But if the guy who owes you money, you don't know if he's going to pay you back, you don't know when he's going to pay you back, then here you don't have to pay the zakat. Okay, inshallah. Alright, go to the next question. Inshallah, would you like to read it, Brother Yahya? Inshallah.
Is it permissible to deduct taxes from zakat?
Okay, that's an interesting question. Yes. Alright. Okay. Is it permissible to deduct the taxes from the zakat? This is a, you know, this question, you know, comes up. The person might say, I have to pay my taxes, so instead of paying the zakat, I'll take the amount that I owe in taxes out from the zakat that's due on me. And here the ulama, they said it is not permissible to deduct the taxes from the zakat. They're two separate things. Zakat is the right of the poor on your property. Taxes is the government, you know, to run the government and things like that. So they're different from one another. They have no, you cannot say I paid taxes to the government, so that counts as my zakat. That's not correct. Well, zakat, it has very strict rules. Taxes is used for everything, you know, to pay the salaries, to build the roads, build the bridges. Those things have nothing to do with zakat. Zakat, again, is only for the categories of people who deserve the zakat. Okay. Let's go to the next question, inshallah. Yes, inshallah.
Is this a lot of a person who does not pay zakat out of negligence and miserliness valid?
That's a good question. Is the salah of a person who does not pay the zakat out of negligence and miserliness accepted? So here, the question, we kind of talked about this in the earlier question. Yeah, we talked about this already. If somebody is stingy, they know they have to pay zakat, but they're too stingy to pay it, they don't want to pay the zakat, they're still Muslim. They're still Muslim, but they're doing a major sin. So here, a person who does the salah, is the salah affected by whether he does zakat or not? No, they're two separate acts of worship. He'll be punished because he's not paying zakat, and he'll be rewarded for doing his salah. If he says, I don't pay my zakat, so I'm not going to do salah because there's no benefit, then he's doing two sins. Not only is he not doing his zakat, he's not even doing his salah. It's even worse. So at least he does his salah, that's good, and he should do his zakat too, but maybe he's stingy, he has to stop doing that. He has to get over his miserliness and his stinginess. But his prayer will be valid and accepted. It will not, it doesn't mean that his prayer is rejected. However, the next question is related to this one, if you want to read the next question.
Is the salat of a person who does not pay zakat, denying it being obligatory, valid?
Oh, is that clear, brother? Now we have the question. Somebody, he says, I don't have to pay zakat. The zakat is not obligatory. That was only in the time of Prophet Muhammad. Today we don't have to pay zakat. Somebody who has this kind of ignorance. In this case, a person doesn't pay zakat and he denies that zakat is part of Islam or it's a pillar of Islam. Person is a non-Muslim. He's done something that takes him out of the fold of Islam. Right? He should be told. He should be explained first. He knows zakat is obligatory. If he doesn't accept, he still denies it, he becomes a non-Muslim. Is the prayer of a non-Muslim accepted?
No.
No. So a person who's praying and he's denying that he has to pay zakat, his prayer is not going to benefit him. It's rejected. Because he's out of Islam, he's rejecting something that has to be known in the religion by necessity. For example, somebody says, I don't believe in the prophets, or I don't believe in the angels, or I don't believe in the day of judgment, or I don't believe that I have to be kind to my parents. You know, these are all things that are well known in Islam, that we have to do these things. If somebody denies those things, then he is nullifying his Islam. He's nullifying his Islam. So therefore his salah would not be accepted. All right, we'll go to the next question. Inshallah, it's the last one here. It's a very interesting question.
Is the cot due on the wealth of orphans and the insane?
Okay. It says here, is the cot due on the wealth of orphans and the insane? And the answer is, the zakat is due on it. Zakat is due on it. That's right. Now, how, you might ask yourself, how is an orphan or an insane person going to know how to pay the zakat? But actually here, this ruling applies to the caretaker. It doesn't apply to the actual orphan. The orphan is a usually young child. He doesn't know the rulings of zakat. And the insane person, he is not responsible over himself, but his guardians are responsible for him. So say that there was an orphan whose parents died and the orphan inherited money. Sometimes orphans have money. They might be an orphan, most of the time they're poor, but sometimes they have money. And so the guardian is keeping his money. He's not allowed to take from it except with certain conditions, but he has to save that money for the orphan until the orphan reaches the age of Rushd, he's able to deal with money and he's reaches puberty, then he can give him his money. But during that time, when he's still a child, does he have to pay zakat?
Yes.
Zakat is due on the wealth of any Muslim who owns it, whether he's a child. You might have a child who's 10 years old, he has to pay zakat. It's not a condition to pay zakat that the owner is above the age of puberty. That, you know, somebody might say, I'm going to give all my money to my child, so then I don't have to pay any zakat. Whoever owns the money, they have to pay zakat. Whether he's an insane person, whether he's an orphan, whether he's a child, as long as he's a Muslim, and he has true ownership of the wealth, he really owns it, then he has to pay zakat. Now, if somebody, he doesn't own the money, but he say he's an orphan, or say he's a child, and his parents say, when you grow up, when you reach the age of 20 years old, I'm going to give you $100,000. I'm going to give you this house. It's a promise from his parents, but he didn't take ownership of it yet. He does not have to pay zakat until he takes that property into his ownership. But we're talking about, in the case of the orphans, that they might have inherited some money from their parents. You know, their father passed away, the orphans, they have money, and the caretakers are holding on to that money so that it doesn't get usurped. Unfortunately, many people usurp the money of orphans. The caretaker, he has to guard that money so nobody steals that money from those orphans. Now, the caretaker, every year, he has to take out the zakat. He has to calculate the zakat from that orphan's wealth, pay it on his behalf. He has to pay it on his behalf. And the same applies for children. Sometimes you have parents, they have like a college fund. They have a child and they open up like an account, like a college fund for their children, and they put money into that college fund. When my child grows up, he's got to go to college. College costs a lot of money. So they save hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes in this account. Every year, the parent has to take out the zakat from that account. Every year, the parent has to take the zakat out on behalf of the child and pay the money. But now the question comes up, the sin. If somebody doesn't do that, is the child going to get punished or the caretaker?
Caretaker.
Child is... he's not responsible. Exactly. Exactly. Insane person, if his caretakers don't pay his zakat, he's not going to be responsible, but the caretakers will be responsible, inshallah. So zakat is due on the wealth, not on the owner. It's not by the owners, it goes by the wealth itself. Whoever owns the property, they have to pay the zakat, inshallah. Any questions on, these are the basic, you know, what, some of the basic rulings on the zakat, inshallah. Adam. Any questions on the zakat? Brothers, clear for everybody? There should be some more flyers Adam, did you get, everybody got flyers? They should be up there by the, maybe you can check up there. They should be on the table there. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Is that clear for you, brother? Jazakallah khair, brother Yahya. May Allah reward you, brother Yahya. Brother Abdul Kabir, alhamdulillah. So yes, brother, you have a question on the zakat? Yes.
That's a good age for kids to start fasting.
Okay. Fasting is different than the zakat. Fasting is the child has to start fasting when he reaches puberty. That's when it's obligatory. But he should be made used to it at a young age. He should be made used to it at a young age. But he doesn't have to do it. Alright, is it okay if we go maybe on the next worksheet? There's another one on the real estate. I think it's very important also because a lot of brothers have the questions on the real estate and the rental properties and things like that. So, would you mind still reading, brother?
A man bought a piece of land to build a house on it. Many years have passed without building anything. Should he pay zakat on it?
Ah, this is a very common question. We hear this question a lot, which is, a man bought a piece of land. He was planning to build a house on it, but he didn't build anything on it. He just owns this big piece of land. Does he have to pay zakat on the value of the land?
I would say yes.
All right. The issue here is, when we talk about zakat on land, is the land for commercial use or personal use? This is what because land in and of itself, it doesn't have zakat on it, unless it's commercial land. You buy the land to resell it. When you have this is like a new category that we didn't talk about yet, which is zakat that is due on trade goods. Goods that people are trading, like a merchant, he owns he has some items in his store, and he wants to sell them in his store. So those items he has to pay zakat that he has in his store. And the same thing goes for the trade goods. Same thing goes for land. Somebody's like a real estate agent. He buys some land. He might split it up. He sells the plots to other people. That person every year, he has to give 2.5% of the value of the land. He has to give zakat. This question, a man bought the land. Actually, I should have waited for the next question. I jumped ahead a little bit. But this question, the man bought a piece of land to build a house on it. Is this personal use or commercial use? Personal use. Okay? Many years have passed, he didn't build anything. It doesn't matter if he built anything or not. The land is for personal use. And there's no zakat on such type of land. There's no zakat on personal land. Land that people buy, they own it for personal use, no zakat. They own it for 100 years. As long as you bought it for personal use, no zakat is due on it. Would you like to read the next question? Related.
Zakat on a property used for reselling.
Yes, very good, brother. Jazakallah khair. Zakat on a property used for reselling. We just talked about it. You can give the answer now.
Yes.
Yes, there is zakat due on the value of the land when one full lunar year has passed. When 1 year passes, he bought the land. Brother Kutim, he bought a big piece of land. And he wants to resell it after a few years when the land value goes up. Because land value, goes up, it might go up a lot, right? So when you buy that land, the day you buy the land, you have to pay zakat? The day you buy the land.
The
day that he signs the contract, does he have to pay zakat?
No.
When does his zakat become due?
When he sells it.
1 year.
No.
When one lunar year goes by.
1 year from the day you acquire the land for commercial use, you have to pay 2.5% of the value. Now, the value of that land, is it the money you paid for it or the value that it becomes? Because you might buy a land really cheap. Say you bought a land for $1,000 and a year from now it's worth $10,000. Do you pay zakat on your purchase price or do you pay zakat on the market value? Market value, that's right. Because that's what it's actually worth at that time. So when it comes to trade goods, when it comes to things that you're dealing with commercially, you deal with the current value, the market value, not the price you paid for it. Somebody might get some pearls very, very cheap in Africa or in India. they bring it all the way to the United States or Europe, and the value goes up 10 times or 100 times or 1,000 times. If he keeps those money, those things in a store, those jewelries in a store for 1 year, he has to pay the retail, the value he would get for it on the market, not the price that he got for it. This is a, like, for example, somebody owns a gas station, and he buys the gas or the oil from Saudi Arabia. Saudi, the oil is very, very cheap. By the time you get it over here, the value goes up a lot. He has to give the zakat on the value in the market, provided he keeps it for 1 full year. Go to the next question, inshallah.
The zakat on rented buildings.
All right. This is another one of the very important questions that people ask, and it's a very important issue in the fiqh of zakat. Rented buildings. What does it mean? What they meant here, not you're renting the building. It means you own a building and you're renting it out to people to live in the apartments. Do you have to pay zakat on the value of your rental property? Do you owe money on the building itself? Here the ulama, they say, the zakat is due on the rent that you receive when 1 year goes by on it, if it's above the minimum, the what they call the nisab. So if you got a rental house and you're getting rent from the house, 1 year goes by, you don't have to pay any zakat for the house itself. There's no zakat on the property itself. The zakat is on the rent, the money you receive. The rental property itself, there's no zakat due on it. This is the strongest view amongst the ulama. Because property, houses, land, they don't have zakat. There's no zakat unless you are buying it commercially to trade it. Say you bought an apartment building. Again, Brother Khutim, he bought a nice apartment building. He's planning to sell it next year. He bought it just as an investment. Not to actually keep it and use it to make money, but as to resell it. So that property is like a trade good. And so that apartment building has to pay zakat because it's a commercial property that he's buying and selling. If he buys the apartment building to keep, he said, I'm going to keep this apartment building and I'm going to just take the rent so that I can, you know, benefit from the rent, then the zakat is due on what?
The money that he obtained during the whole year from the rent.
From the rent, very good. From the whole year, the money he got from the rent, if he keeps that rent money for 1 whole year, then he has to pay zakat on the rent money. But the actual property, is there any zakat due on it? The actual building?
No,
the value of the building, no zakat due on it. MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. Alright, is that clear on the rental properties? Any questions on the rental property? Okay. Go to the next question, inshallah.
Should we pay zakat on money saved for a building?
All right. Here now, this is two issues that come up. The answer basically, it says the zakat is due on it. The zakat is due on it. Money saved for buying a house. Somebody saving up money to buy a house for his family or a building. He has to pay zakat on that savings. Doesn't matter if he's going to spend it on a house or on a boat or on a car or on anything. It's still cash. If he actually buys the house, do we have to pay zakat on the house we live in? No zakat on the house we live in. The Prophet ﷺ said, there's no zakat on a man's horse or on his slave. And from here the ulama said that any property that a person needs, like on a daily basis, you know, things that we use, furniture, car, house, things that we have in one's home, appliances, there's no zakat due on these things. So somebody now, he's saving up to buy a house. So he has a savings account and he's going to use that money to buy a house. Now we know that if he actually owns the house, there's no zakat. But the money that he has, that he's saving up to buy that house, does he have to pay zakat on that savings, that cash money that he has? Yes. Doesn't matter what his intention is to do with it. As long as he has that money, he has to pay zakat. When he buys the actual house, there's no more zakat due on him. But before that time, he might change his intention, right? He might say, I'm going to buy my own personal family house with this money, but maybe he changes his mind and he just ends up saving it. So that's not a reason not to pay zakah on the house. Okay, so normally speaking, buildings and property and houses, they don't have zakah. But the money that we use, the cash money, to buy those things, we have to pay the zakah on it, inshallah. Maybe we'll just read a couple more, because these are very, very critical questions the brothers are asking about. Would you like to read the next one?
Zakat on stocks for investment only.
All right. Zakat on stocks for investment, dividends only. Here's the answer the ulama say, zakat is due on their profits. The profits after the passage of 1 year. After the passage of 1 year at 2.5%. There is no zakat on the original shares. There's no zakat on the original share. All right. When it comes to stocks, some people buy stocks for two reasons in the stock market. The ruling on stocks is a separate issue. When you buy a stock, you're buying a share in a company. If the company is doing something haram, it's haram to buy the stocks. If the company, like for example, they sell alcohol, they sell tobacco, they deal in haram things, we cannot buy stocks. That's a different issue. But the issue here, the question is, if you bought the stocks in the company, when you buy those stocks, you have one of two intentions. If you're a little bit, brothers were familiar with the stocks, sometimes people will buy the stock to keep it as a savings, as an investment, and the value will go up, and they get dividends, yes. You know, they're buying it to keep it. I think they call it blue chip stocks. Stocks like in big companies. I'm going to buy 100 shares of the stock, and I'm going to keep it just to get, and every year the company is going to pay me some dividends. In this case, do you have to pay money on the stocks itself or on the profit you get from the stocks? On the profit. The money that you bought the stocks with is the investment. There's no zakat on the investment money, but the zakat is on the profit that you receive from it. On the other hand, some people, they do what they call trading in stocks. They buy and sell. They try to buy it cheap and resell it. Every day they might be buying and selling different stocks. In this case, the stocks are considered commercial goods, commercial property. Like a man has property in his store, commercial items. We talked about this before. Somebody buys something with the intention of reselling it, then that becomes a trade good, and zakat is due on the trade goods. So if somebody is trading in stocks, they have to pay zakat on their whole property that they own, the whole portfolio. If somebody is buying stocks to keep as a long-term investment to get the dividends, they pay zakat on what? On the dividends of the stocks, not on the actual stocks itself. Jazakallah khair. The next question is related. You can read the next question too.
Zakat on stocks for buying and selling.
Zakat on the stocks for buying and selling, we just talked about. Zakat is due on both the shares and their dividends and their profit according to the market price at the completion of one whole year at 2.5%. Okay, somebody is buying and trading shares. At the end of the whole year, after 1 year is over, he has to pay on the whole value, the stocks and the dividends, the profit, the final value of the stocks. Maybe he bought the stocks really cheap, $10. And then after a year, you know how stocks, they go up and down, it's worth $100. He has to pay zakat on the initial price or the final price?
Final.
The final market price. Yes, the value it is at the end of the year. He calculates the total value of all of his stocks and their dividends, and he takes out 2.5%, inshallah. Would you like to read the next question, brother?
Is zakat due on a retirement bonus?
This is a question I think one of the brothers asked. I don't know if he's here. The person, they receive a retirement bonus. Basically, the company says, you work for us, we're going to take care of you. When you retire, we're going to give you a bonus of $10,000. Now, every year, you're expecting that when you retire, you're going to get this $10,000. Do you have to pay zakat on that money before you received it? That $10,000 that they're going to give you as a retirement bonus? Yes? You should take zakat out every year?
I say yes.
You say yes also? Here the issue is, do you have access to that money or not?
You don't have access.
Yeah. If you don't have access to the money, the Islamic law does not require you to pay zakat. Social Security benefits, for example, they have every year. You might be getting accruing your Social Security benefits. You want that money today? They're going to give it to you? No, they're going to say wait till you're 60 or 63 years old. That money is not accessible to you, therefore you do not have to pay zakat. If you have access to it, on the other hand, some companies, they offer a retirement portfolio, what they call IRA. They say you can put money aside and we'll match it. They match your funds, right? 50-50, I think maybe you know a little bit, right? Brother Fahid, about this, they call IRA. The IRA, can you take money out from your IRA? You can't take it out? You can take it out. You are allowed to take it out, but you have to pay some taxes on the money. But generally speaking, if you have access to the money, you have to pay zakat. If you don't have access to the money, it's something that will be due to you in the future, then you don't have to pay zakat. Now the issue comes up, when you do get the retirement bonus, should you pay the zakat retroactively from the time they had promised you? Like say that when you reach 60 years old, they're going to give you $100,000. During that time, we already said we don't have to pay zakat because you don't have access to that $100,000. When you reach 60, they give you the $100,000. Do you have to pay the zakat for the previous years retroactively? Here is a difference of opinion amongst the ulama. Most of the ulama say no, you don't have to. You just pay for when you acquire that money, 1 year later you pay the zakat. Some of the ulama said to be on the safe side, pay for the previous year. As soon as you get the money, pay for 1 year only. But not all those years that the money was due to you. Inshallah, that's the ruling on the retirement count. Does anybody want to read the next one? Go ahead. Yes, go ahead. Okay. Overdue money. The state owes you some money. Do you have to pay zakat on that? Here the ulama say a person should calculate a lunar year from the date of receiving it and then pay zakat. One is not required to pay zakat in previous years before receiving it. This is similar to the previous question. The state owes you some money for some reason. Maybe you overpaid your taxes or something like that. So when you don't have to pay zakat until you actually receive it from the state. Before that, you don't have access to the money, inshallah. And we have two final questions. I think we can maybe we'll read them real quick. I'll just read them so we can finish. Zakat on property dedicated as a waqf. Is there zakat on the awqaf? For example, a masjid is considered an endowment, waqf. The masjid, does the owner of the masjid have to pay zakat or the caretakers of the masjid? No. There's no zakat on the waqf. Money that is dedicated for the sake of Allah, a masjid, school building, things like that, there's no zakat. Do on it. And finally, zakat on gold worn by women as adornment. This is a question many women have. They have jewelry. Is there zakat due on the jewelry that women wear? There's a difference of opinion amongst the ulama. Some ulama say yes, she has to pay zakat because it's gold. And you have to pay zakat on gold, no matter if you wear it or not. And other ulama say no. It's something she uses on a daily to beautify herself. It's like a car or a house or anything else. It's part of her necessities. So she does not have to pay the zakat on the jewelry that she wears. However, if she saves the gold in a bank deposit box, some women, they have a lot of gold, they never wear it. They just keep it as a savings for a rainy day. That you have to pay zakat on. There's no question about that. The only question is about the actual jewelry that the women wear every day. In that case, there's a difference of opinion. But to be on the safe side, it would be better if she pays zakat on it, inshallah ta'ala. Allah knows best. Jazakallah khair. Any questions? Alright, barakallahu feek. No questions? Alright, may Allah accept from all of us. May Allah reward all of you. Subhanakallah bihamdik. Astaghfirullah atubu ilayk. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And Allah knows best. Jazakallah khair.